Welcome to the Menopause Conversations podcast. My name's Angela Council, and I am your host for this podcast. And this is where you learn all about menopause, what is happening to your body, to your hormones, and life in general. Everything is changing, and sometimes it can seem really, really confusing. But this is where the confusion stops right now. This podcast will share with you everything you need to know about how you can navigate your menopause transition with ease. So sit back and enjoy the show. Bye for now. Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of Menopause Conversations podcast. My name is Angela Council, your host for this podcast. And today I thought I'd have a little bit of chat with you about what's in your genes. And I'm not talking about the genes you're wearing right now. I'm talking about the genetic makeup and how it influences your journey through the menopause transition. And I'm going to talk about genetics, which is your DNA, and something called epigenetics in the podcast today, and the differences between them and why epigenetics is such an important player in this game, particularly as you're coming through menopause and you're experiencing various different symptoms, and really how you can be in control of what is happening when you actually understand epigenetics. So let's just very firstly start with genetics. So genetics is basically it's your DNA sequence. It's the study of DNA. And there was a big project called the Human Genome Project, whereby they were able to map quite a few different genes and gene sequences. And the genes basically are like they're kind of like little controllers that tell the body what to do. And specific genes are coded for specific things that are to do with our physical health. Things like, you know, the gene for the color of your eyes, the gene for the color of your hair, the gene for how tall you are. But we also have other genes for, a predisposition to diabetes. We have genes that may give us a higher risk of cardiovascular disease or cancer. The BRCA1 gene is a really well-known gene, which women who've got that gene are at a higher risk of getting breast cancer. Doesn't mean they will get breast cancer, it's just that there's a higher rate of, because their gene is encoded for that. And sometimes, and I've heard this many, many times before, when people say, well, there's nothing I can do about it, it's in my genes. My mother had this, my father had this, it runs in my family, it's genetic, I'm going to live with that. And I actually had clients who've had the same thing. And one of my clients, her father had diabetes. And she'd been told by her doctor that because her father had diabetes, she was going to get diabetes as well. Now, this isn't necessarily true. Whilst we have some genes which are basically hard-coded in that they don't change, and that's, you know, genes for how tall you are, the colour, even your hair colour can change. Obviously, as we get older, our hair colour changes, but our base hair colour doesn't. Our gene for that, it doesn't change. But then we have other genes which, you know, which says whether or not we're going to get lots of grey hairs or it's going to go silver. So we think there's about 5% of genes which are relatively hard-coded, they don't change. The other 95%, though, they can change. And just because you have a specific gene doesn't mean it's going to be what we call expressed. So if we think of genes like being the loaded gun, and when it's expressed is when we pull the trigger. So we don't have to pull the trigger, and there's things that we can do to actually stop the trigger from being pulled. And this is where epigenetics comes into play, because epigenetics is actually the study of the heritable changes in our gene expression that can occur without changing the actual DNA sequence itself. So basically what that means in layman's terms is that you have the ability to have control over whether or not a specific gene basically in the gun pulls the trigger. The control is with you. Now, this was all kind of found out about, and the science of epigenetics is relatively new and we're still learning a lot more about it, but there was a cell biologist known as, and his name is Bruce Lipton. I think he lives in New Zealand now. And he was the one who first started to look at this, and he was looking at cell behavior. And he was kind of, yeah, and when you hear him talk, he's always kind of got this curiosity going on. His brain is always thinking. And he was kind of looking at different cells and wondering why some cells were behaving in one manner and why some weren't. And because we always thought before Bruce Lipton did his work that it was all about the gene, that the gene basically controlled the way the cell would work, and that the gene was, you know, whatever the gene was, that's what was going to happen. But he started to notice that this actually wasn't the case. And he was looking at the cell membrane. So we think of the cell membrane like the outside of the cell. And he started to realize that that was playing a really big role into whether or not the gene, the DNA sequence within the cell was actually expressed, whether it was turned on or turned off. And he was trying to work out what it was about the cell membrane. So what he did was he did this experiment whereby he had one cell and divided it in two. And when we started with one cell, he had some DNA in it, and it divided in two. So we actually had the exact same DNA in each cell, because it was basically split in half, same cell and the same DNA in each cell. And this is what happens when we have identical twins. We start with one egg, gets split in half. And so what he did was, is he, each of those cells, he put into different environments. And for a cell, the environment was the petri dish. And he exposed each cell to something different when it came to the environment. So the nutrition that it fed, how much, air and other nutrition. One was given lots of nutrition and lots of, the environment was not stressful. And the other one was actually, the other cell wasn't given nutrition and there was a lot of stress put on it, and the things like air and things like that. So it was different. The environment was different. You have to read his book. His book's called Biology of Belief, and he goes into the detail of exactly what he did, but which I can't really remember right now. But in essence, we have two cells, exact DNA, and they had different environments. And what he noticed was the expression of those genes, that the DNA actually expressed differently. And one cell grew and continued to multiply and the other one didn't. And that then started him starting to look more and more about the expression of genes. Once again, think the gun. The gun is loaded, but pulling the trigger, and this is where he started to look at this. What was pulling the trigger on specific genes? Why were some genes being turned on and some not? And as I said, a very, very common one that people know about is the BRCA1 gene. Why is it that, women who've got the BRCA1 gene, not all of them get cancer? Some do and some don't. What is the difference? And I can actually remember being in a room with some very, very well-qualified researchers and doctors who are asking this exact question. Why is it that some women get cancer and some women don't? And this was kind of just as the science of epigenetics was starting to coming out. So we're probably going back, I don't know, 20 years or so. And this is what epigenetics is about. So epigenetics, basically, in essence, really simply means above the genes. So what happens outside of the genes? What happens outside of the genes that can influence whether or not a gene is actually expressed or not? And this is really important, because it means that you don't have to live your family history. You don't have to live the genes that you've got. You have actually got the ability to change it. So what can you do? There's many, many things that you can do. And some of the key things are looking at the food you eat, eating the food that your body requires. Food plays a massive role into whether or not certain genes are turned on or turned off. We also look at things like your environment, where you live. Are you living in hot climates, cold climates? Are you being exposed to environmental toxins, mold, all of that? They all influence the genes as well. all of these different things can influence the genes. How often you exercise, do you exercise, do you do high impact or cardio exercise, or do you do strength exercise? These can all turn the genes on and off as well. So there are so many different things that you can do to change your gene expression, to basically unload the gun and get a different outcome. So you might say, well, what the hell has this got to do with menopause? Well, because our hormones are managed by our genes. Menopause is managed by our genes. Whether or not we put on weight, it was managed by our genes. This is why no woman's experience of menopause is the same as someone else's. They're all different. Notice, many women might put on weight, but other women don't. They're still going through the menopause transition. What is the difference? They've got different genetic makeup, or they do different things to influence their genes. So, and there's things you can do, and this is a lot of the work I do is teaching women what they can do to change their gene expression. And I know that when I was kind of very first learning this many, many years ago, when I was learning all about women's health, and particularly menopause, I was kind of taught that the genes play about 10% role in how you're going to experience menopause. So if you and I used to say to women, well, how did your mother experience menopause? Because that'll give you an idea of how you can experience menopause. Now, that is still true, but the missing bit that I didn't know at the time when I first learned this, and when I was saying this to my clients, is just because your mother had a certain experience of menopause doesn't mean that has to be your experience. Now, yes, you might have that genetic tendency to go through the same experience, but you can change it because you can influence your genes through epigenetics, by the food that you eat, the way you move your body, being whether or not you're exposed to particular toxins or not, the stress your body is under. That stress, I mean, is number one, plays a big role in everything. Your mindset, your belief systems, all of this can play a role in how your genes are expressed. So my question to you is, do you want to live your gene expression, or do you want to change it? Because you can be in control. You've got the choice. You can sit back and say, oh, it's in my genes, there's nothing I can do about it. This is going to be my life. I'm going to have exactly the same as what my mother did, my father did. I'm just going to go through the same things. I'm going to have the same diseases because it's genetic. Or you've got a choice. You could say, no, actually, I don't want that for myself. And that's what happened with that client I told you about right at the very beginning, when she was told by her doctors that she was going to get diabetes because her father had diabetes, because it was her grandfather had diabetes, because it was genetic. She put herself back in control. And she was on the way to, she was already pre-diabetic. She had insulin resistance, and she was holding a lot of weight, and there was a lot of, she was close to being diagnosed as diabetic. But she took control and she started to learn what her body required, and she was able to change that outlook. And we know that when you actually start to eat the right food for your body, move your body the way it needs to be, it needs to be moved, when we remove the toxins, that we can actually turn around gene expression. We can turn it around in 12 weeks. 12 weeks, we can actually turn around the expression of your gene that says that you're going to get diabetes. We know that we can start making a difference. This is the work I do, and I've seen it time and time again. And sometimes it is less than 12 weeks. We can actually turn that gene off, and no longer are these women diagnosed with diabetes. It's all to do with the food you eat, the life you live, the stress you're under. There's all these, it's external environment. It's all the externals. Your genes do not determine the outcome. If you pop over to the Menopause Conversations Facebook group and request to join and leave your email address, I will send you a free recipe book to help balance your hormones. And we can continue that conversation over there. What is it? What genes do you think you've got, or you've been told you've got? Have you had gene testing done? How do you think you can change it? Do you think it's possible? Please feel free to share this episode with your friends. Let more and more women know that there is a different way to move through the menopause transition. It is possible to thrive in menopause. Until next week, I'll be back with you then. Bye for now. Bye.